I think these iPads are getting too smart for us, because the first thing it said to me when I pushed the button was, preach at 10:30. This is the huge question that is shadowing not just the parable we just heard, but two entire chapters of Matthew's gospel. Where is Christ, the bridegroom? The Christians, immediately after Jesus, had a lively expectation that Christ would return and come back very soon to begin the big party, to bring in the heavenly kingdom here on earth. And you heard that in our reading from 1 Thessalonians, penned in about 50 or so, common era after Jesus. But time went on. 30, 40, 50 years had gone by. And many, many people were beginning to ask themselves and each other, I would think somewhat nervously, where is the bridegroom? Where is Christ? In our parable this morning, the bridegroom is delayed. And all of the bridesmaids fell asleep, waiting for the bridegroom to come. But half of them were not ready for him when he arrived. And when he finally does arrive, they get locked out of the wedding feast. So this parable's answer to the bridegroom's delay is this. None of us knows exactly when, but Christ is coming soon. So stay awake. Be prepared. Stay ready. When I was a freshman in high school, many, many, many years ago, I read a book called The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey. Do any of you remember the book? Oh, good. I see people my age do. Hal Lindsey claimed to know that the end time was very near. And that very Christmas, I went to a Campus Crusade for Christ conference in Houston, Texas, where Hal Lindsey spoke about the sure signs of Jesus approaching a return. Now remember, this is 1972. The reestablishment of the State of Israel, the rise of a 10-nation confederacy in Europe. This is before the European Economic Community. The worldwide increase in godlessness. I was so convinced that Jesus was going to come back soon that I went home prepared to skip college, go straight to Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, and become a missionary to spread the word. It was only my parents' wise counsel that kept me from going off the deep end. No offense, Moody Bible Institute. I don't want to minimize the second coming of Christ, for in our creeds we proclaim every Sunday that Christ will come again, that Christ will judge the living and the dead. And we celebrate that coming in our liturgical seasons, as we will in Advent in a few weeks here. As Christians, we do look forward to that physical second coming of Christ and the fulfillment of God's promises. According to Matthew, however, there is another place in our lives where Christ encounters us and we encounter Christ. Christ can be found in our neighbor's need. At the far end of the same section of Matthew, and let me set this out for you, there are two chapters here that are just packed full of parables and sayings about the second coming of Christ. And then immediately Matthew launches into the passion narrative about how Jesus died and rose. But at the far end of this section is another parable, a famous one, the one about the sheep and the goats. And I won't be here in a few weeks. Someone's going to preach on this because it comes up in 2 weeks on Christ the King Sunday, the Sunday before Thanksgiving. But I wanted to talk to you about it today because the most striking aspect about that parable is not Christ's second coming for final judgment. What really wakes us up is the basis on which God will judge us. According to that parable, if we take it seriously, God will judge us on how we treated others who are in need. And you could probably say the verse with me if you've been in church for a while. Whatsoever you do unto the least of these, the poor, the sick, the imprisoned, the lonely, and the lowly, you have done it to me. Christ identifies himself and his life and our eternal destiny with our own willingness and capacity to meet human need wherever we find it. And that means in the streets, in the workplace, in the classroom, and even in our own home. This truth was brought home to me years ago when I was in New Orleans at a Society of Biblical Literature conference, of all things. It happened in late 1996, shortly after my wife and I had separated. And I was so thankful to leave snowy South Bend, Indiana, trudge across the campus, take the bus to the airport, and fly to warm, beautiful New Orleans, Louisiana. I was hobnobbing with all the other academics, attending seminars, enjoying the warm New Orleans weather and the hospitality. But at the very same time, I was struggling with increasing intensity with my own vocation. For what did God want me to do with my life? A divorcing dad, a Lutheran pastor, a Notre Dame PhD fellow. After 4 days of being full up to here of information from seminars and admittedly alcohol and Cajun food, jambalaya, couldn't resist. On that last Sunday morning of the conference, I made my way to the downtown square and went to church at the cathedral. And there I heard this parable of the sheep and the goats preached on and in the gospel lesson for Christ the King. But I heard an additional line at the end of that reading. What I heard after, in so much as you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me. What I heard was this: Phil, your two sons are your least of these. Now, I had planned to go back to South Bend, finish my PhD, and start teaching. And my ex-wife was going back to Minneapolis to raise the kids, so I would have them in the summers. But the course of my life was changed that day. Pardon me. At that moment, I made a very conscious decision to return from South Bend and go back to Minneapolis and participate fully in the raising of my sons. I have never regretted, not for one moment, that decision. For in that very human vocation to fatherhood, one which many of us, parenthood, are called to, Christ has come to me again and again and again. Christ has come to me at soccer games. Christ has come to me in homework help and in Legos stepped on in the middle of the night. In teacher conferences, at the family table, in snuggle time, I have come near to Christ and Christ has come near to me. So I'm asking you this morning to consider, who are your least of these? Where are you called to meet Christ, to encounter Christ today? It's not just about caregiving and family, and it's not just about some mystical message conveyed in a service. It's much, much bigger than that. It's about the interdependence we know when we give and we receive help from others. Not just give, but are able to receive it also. How do we receive that help? And this is very important. This is probably the most important thing. Listen carefully today. This plea to alert, to stay awake, to stay involved is not necessarily a plea for us to do more things. Thank you, God. I've noticed over time a lot of fatigue among good deed doers, and especially this fall. I don't know why, but the staff has commented in our staff meetings that we've noticed, not just in the staff, but in our communities. Here at St. Matt's and out in the communities we serve, that there's a tiredness. Our lives have become full. Our iPhone calendars are packed with opportunity, with appointments, with family, friends, and community. And with lives already so full, it's very hard to stay open. It's very hard to maintain that attitude of meeting Christ and others. And it gets even more difficult when the people we want to help are uncooperative or unwilling to receive our help, which sometimes happens. But this call to stay awake is not meant to pile more things on our plate, more people to see, more things to do. This call to stay awake is really about attitude. And here I'm going to jump back to the lesson from the Wisdom of Solomon. Wisdom is not a list of things you do. It's a mindfulness. It's an approach to life. And so when we ask for God's wisdom, we may or may not be doing more things, but we will stay alert and stay awake and recognize how Christ is coming to us each day in our families, in our communities, in our church, in our world. It's sometimes a difficult discernment to make. Now, notice in today's reading, each bridesmaid stands on her own as regards her preparation, the buying of the oil. The response of the wise bridesmaids to their sisters in need almost sounds cruel to our ears. Go get your own oil. We can't share. Imagine with me for a moment a very different ending to this parable. The bridesmaids come for the wedding feast. They still fall asleep. They are still wakened at midnight by the shout, "The bridegroom comes." Some are still wisely prepared, and others, alas, are still foolish and empty-handed. But instead of hoarding their oil, the wise virgins begin to look around and see Christ coming to them in their foolish sisters. They share the oil that they've been given with their sisters. How would that parable end differently for both the foolish and the wise? I wrote my own ending. The bridegroom came, and all those bridesmaids who shared the oil with each other went into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut, and everyone enjoyed the feast together. That's the ending that I want in my life. That's the ending I want in my family, in our church, in our communities, and in our world. How about you? How different our lives will be when we consciously meet Christ at every opportunity in our neighbor's need. So Christ is coming today. Stay awake. Stay involved. Be alert. Amen.